Welcome to Run With It, Canada's running fitness and health program. On this month's episode, we have the Sports Doctor Is In segment, so stay tuned for that. But first, let's go to my conversation with author Angela Ficken about 8 ways to manage stress. Check it out.
And joining me on Run With It, a running fitness and health program, is Angela Ficken. She is a psychotherapist and author, and she's here today to talk about her latest book, Chaotic to Clear-Headed, 8 Ways to Master Your Stress. Very interesting. And welcome, Angela. How are you?
Thank you, Christine. It's so nice to be here. And thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk about all things stress.
But there's good stress, right?
There's definitely good stress. There's both and. There's good stress and there's some not so fun stress.
Yes. And you talk about it in your book. And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, I know that you have your own practice, I should say, Progress Wellness, and you're an established speaker and writer. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah. So I'll start with a 10-year-old Angela. I was in therapy as a kid. I had lots of big feelings, and with parents, my parents were divorced, and I was going through a really challenging time. And to my parents' credit, they were very pro mental health and well-being. So I saw Dr. Thorbeck as a 10-year-old. She was my therapist, and I loved her. She practiced in her house. She had nice clothes. She had a beautiful office. And I thought, and she made me feel so good and held all my feelings. I'm like, I want to do this when I grow up. And that was it. Like I was sold and went to college for psychology and then grad school. So that was like the moment where I was hooked on helping people, because I know what it's like to have struggles and also what it's like to come out of it. And being a part of somebody's journey is just such a great gift. And I just love it. So that's where it started for me. And then worked at McLean Hospital as a senior social worker. McLean Hospital is a psychiatric hospital here in Massachusetts. And then from there, I worked at Harvard as a primary therapist for undergrad and graduate students, and then decided to take the plunge into private practice full time, specializing in stress, anxiety, eating disorders. I also specialize in obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, which is a higher octane anxiety disorder. And I thought that was it. Like that would be, I hung up my shingle. It was my dream and that would be it. But then I heard from people that the skills that I was able to teach were transformative, but that I was a hard find. I was a hard therapist to find that had my skill set. And Boston's not that big of a city. So I thought, okay, if they're having a hard time finding me, what can I do that can reach people in all areas, wherever you are in the world or in the country? How can I teach people the skills and how can they access what I teach? So that's when I started doing writing and blog posts and creating online products, and wrote a book, and here I am with you today. So that's the kind of trajectory of how I got here.
Oh, that's wonderful, Angela. And your book, you know, congratulations again. And right now it's going to be released on April 3rd. Is that correct? Yes. So what inspired you to write the book? Like, was there a pivotal moment? Say, I have to write this book.
It was. So one of my, my business partner, Kristen Marquette, of Marquette Media, she is just everything to me. She said, you need to write a book. you've come this far. You've got so much writing. This is the next thing for you. And I was kicking that can down the road because I knew it was going to be a beast. I've never written a book before. And I was nervous about it. So finally she said, this is it. This is your time. And I started in April, 2020. So right after kind of COVID kicked in. And I had some time. And at that point, just decided, okay, I'm going to do it. And so it's been, since then, it's taken me that long to write the book and get it out. And here we are. So it's definitely been a process. But that was kind of the push point of having a teammate say, like, all right, kid, you're ready. Do it. So I did.
Wow. And so your book is self-help, but it also has worksheets in there, which is really beneficial.
Yeah, that was something that we wanted to add. And the worksheets I use in my practice, just to kind of give people the added bonus of, yeah, you're not only learning how to manage your stress, here's the exact worksheets I use in my practice that I created to help people kind of learn about, like, how do you set emotional boundaries? How do you challenge your negative thoughts? How do you come up with kind of positive self-dialogue? So we wanted to include those. So I thought that would be just a nice addition to the book.
Yeah, so you can refer back to it. And there's 8 topics, right? Creating your own self-care plan. And, you know, there's something for, you know, as I say, you can refer back to it. And but we were talking a little bit, I was saying there's good stress, and then there's bad stress. So can you tell the audience what the differences are? I mean, it's good to have good stress, right?
Yes, people can thrive in good stress, right? I could even say, like, I feel a little good stress now, right? I'm on live with you. I can feel my heart race a little, but my thoughts are really clear. I feel energized. I feel excited, right? But my body is pumping, right? And so that's an example of good stress. And that's where people thrive. It's like, okay, my body's telling me I'm a bit amped. But instead of feeling scatterbrained or stuck or I'm running for the hills or I feel like I'm going to be nauseous, I actually feel quite excited. So that is kind of signs of good stress, and lots of people can, like, really thrive in that and seek that out, that sense of excitement. So that's an example of good stress. Bad stress is a whole lot of symptoms that don't make us feel good. So it can, our brain starts to feel foggy or scattered. Mm-hmm. Sometimes negative thoughts come in, heart racing, nauseous. Sometimes our body can feel all tingly. We lose focus, lack of sleep. I mean, it can really, our body can feel so tense, we can't relax. And when we experience prolonged stress, that's when it really can start to interfere with our functioning and our well-being. And that's kind of where I come in.
Yes. I mean, so Angela, tell us your 8 secrets to overcoming stress.
So there's 8 kind of sections in the book. And my goal was to really give a whole round picture of stress, what can happen and how to manage it. So in the book, I talk about what is good stress, what's bad stress, how do you know the difference? I talk about boundaries. So do you need better boundaries? And what are some questions? For example, do you have a hard time saying no to people? Do you feel like you want to say no, but you say yes instead because you don't want to get in trouble or you want to people please? So there's all these questions to think about. Where do you want to build boundaries? There's emotional boundaries. There's physical boundaries. There's financial boundaries. There's all different types of boundaries. And so which ones do you feel like you need the most help with? And then there's strategies to think about how you do that in the book. There's examples of boundary statements too that I think are really helpful, so you can try to find your own voice. And then I also have a chapter on how do you tolerate intolerable feelings. So when we're feeling stressed, it's like holding a hot potato. I don't want to hold this. And then we throw it out, right? So it might come out as irritability or pushing people away, or could even be withdrawing, and it bites us. It kind of, we cut off our nose to spite our face, right? So intolerable emotions, we don't want to feel those. They feel really yucky. So we just want to get rid of them really fast. And in the book, I talk about, yes, that is true. And we can't get away from intolerable emotions. They exist for a reason. They're telling us we're really feeling something that's really important to look at why. And instead of just getting rid of it and maybe burning a bridge, right, sending an email that ends up being short and curt to a coworker, or telling our parents to go take a hike and then, you know, feeling like, oh no, now I've got to repair that bridge. There are strategies that really help us think about, oh, I feel really yucky inside. And how do I start to tolerate this emotion so that I can calm my body down so I can start to think more clearly. So I've got a whole chapter on how to tolerate intolerable emotions in there, which I think is really important. Then the last bit is a whole self-care plan. So how do you develop your own self-care plan so that no matter where you go, you've got it? Of course, with life circumstances, your self-care plan might need some tweaking here and there over, you know, life transitions, but that you make yourself a priority. And that once, when you can do that by putting yourself first as much as you can, your top three priorities in your life, it's the trickle down effect, right? So if you're well fueled and you're well taken care of, everybody benefits, right? So when I am on my game for taking care of me, my daughter benefits. I'm not a grumpy mummy, right? I'm less of a grumpy mummy. My husband definitely benefits. My parents benefit, like my friends, everybody benefits. So that's kind of what I speak to in this book of how do you really take a look at what's stressing you out and how to find the right strategies for you so that you can really, you know, have all the things that you want, the relationships you want, without stress impacting you in the way that it is.
Right. And it's my appointment with myself and you giving the people the tools that you can do the, you know, follow these strategies. And Angela, before we went live on air, you talked about you run half marathons, you run. I mean, is that something that you'd like to still do and to help with cope with stress or to feel overall well?
Yes. So I would say I used to be a runner. Oh, Christine, I do miss it. Like I have been trying to get back into it. It was something that definitely helped me manage my stress. And I did a couch to 5K. Like I thought I really like challenges. I like competing with myself and I think it's fun. So I thought, oh, this will be fun. So I did a couch to 5K and was hooked. And then slowly the best race I ever did was this race called Ragnar. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Yes. So I did it in 2010. Okay. So this is like how long ago I was like really into running, but I ran with 12 other teammates. And we ran it was supposed to be from Yale to Harvard, but I think so many people wanted to do this race. We actually ran to Foxborough Stadium where the Patriots run for the kind of bigger parking lot area. So I ran from essentially Connecticut to Boston. It took us, I think, 33 hours. Wow. And it was a relay. So it wasn't like I was running for 33 hours, but it was so fun. You got to meet people. It was just a beautiful experience. And I think finding hobbies and finding a way to move your body, all of it can be so fun and it absolutely can be with reduced stress. I got away from running, but it is now back on my radar. Yes. So I am back to the couch to 5K, but I just feel like I've got it in me again, that it's a nice way to just think like, how far can I go? How much further, or like, what's my time or what's my body doing? And that's another reason why I think running can be so helpful, especially for me. I know it's different for everybody. I can't think when I'm running. I listen to music, but there's no negative thoughts. There's no grocery list. There's no what's tomorrow. I literally am like, am I breathing? what are my legs doing? How's my body feeling? So that's why I also used it as like a mindfulness strategy of just grounding me into the present moment. So that's my long-winded thing on running, but that's, I did run and that's why I find it so helpful. And I think why a lot of people kind of do exercise as a way of just helping with the mindfulness approach.
Oh, that's wonderful. Angela, thank you for sharing. And, you know, and so what's next for you other than the book coming out?
So what's next? I think I'm actually going to pivot to an Etsy shop. So I've opened an Etsy shop, and part of what I really liked about the book is being creative in a outside of a private practice way. And I love creating worksheets. So with all the skills that I have in my kind of repertoire of 20 years of practice, I want to create worksheets. It's just like, okay, how can I, again, reach more people that maybe are interested in doing some work. Maybe they don't have time for therapy. Maybe they want to do it in conjunction with therapy as an add-on. And that's kind of my next move is, you know, how can I create worksheets to help you combat negative thinking or self-care strategies, more ways to tolerate intolerable emotions. So all of those, that skill set that I have, I'm looking to put into kind of the worksheet form for digital download and having it be easier access for people.
Oh, that's wonderful. And where can we get a copy of your book?
So it will be on Amazon. That will be the main point of finding it. And that will be up April 3rd. It's Chaotic to Clear-Headed. I hope people find it helpful and true. And then if people do want to, if you can't find it on Amazon, you can always reach me on my through my website, progresswellness.com, and my email's on there. And I'm happy to hear from anybody.
That's great. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just want people to know that they're not alone, and that if you're feeling a certain way and you haven't shared it, it's not to say that you should share it or you have to share it. It's just to know that whatever thoughts you're having, I've either had myself or I've helped somebody with before. And we tend to think our thoughts are original, right? That no one's ever felt this way before. No one's thinking this really scary, crazy thought. Just like, nope, $100. I bet somebody has had it, or I myself have had it, so that you're not alone and that there are skills out there that can really be helpful for you, that you can feel better actually sooner than you think. And there's lots of people out there, including myself, who are here to help.
Thank you so much, Angela, for being a guest on the show today. And I always say this, but I really want you to come back on the show. So
I will be back. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joining me today is Dr. Bob Weil, known as Dr. Bob, who is a respected sports podiatrist and radio host of The Sports Doctor. Dr. Bob is back on the show for The Sports Doctor Is In segment on Run With That. And always a pleasure to have you back, Dr. Bob. How are you?
Oh, very good, Christine. I wanted to wish you a belated happy birthday. And it's always fun to do our segment, you know, adding to the education you provide on your Go Run With It. So we're glad to be here.
Yes, and I also want to do a quick shout out to Hurdle socks. I haven't tried them yet, but I can't wait. But it's just, I love socks. And I know we did a segment not long ago. So thank you to you too, Dr. Bob, for referring me.
Yes, they're one of the supporters of the Sports Doctor Radio Show. And one of their co-founders, Tosh Hayes, is somebody who was very involved in the fabric world, in the MIT studies of fabrics and support and things that go into strategic areas of socks. So it's absolutely something that's important and has been downplayed over the years with all the attention to shoes. So we wanted to bring that back, and we've got a key article coming out in Lower Extremity Review in the next issue or two called Socks Matter. I named it after the other founder, Taylor Matter.
That's wonderful. No, and I actually just got a pair of new running shoes provided by Rockets and Runners. So these socks
are going to be... Hey, you're ready to rock and roll.
That's right, Dr. Bob. But I want to talk about, now that the weather is better, you know, it's warmer, and, you know, thinking about family fitness, and we can talk about that. Like, now's the time, right, to get out there and include the family in your workouts.
It's always a good time. But, you know, the concept of having families coming up with activities that they could do together. Walking is a great example. Going to the gym, great example. The idea being that we want to involve family members as young as possible, as often as possible. And it's up to mom and dad to set an example and include their children when at all possible. You know, again, we have a tremendous challenge with childhood obesity, with adult obesity, and the idea of being able to make sure that number one, schools are paying big attention, including gym class, having activities, youth sports, taking a big part, but also families and the fact that they can get involved. And again, I'll use walking as a great example that could be done together and it could be done consistently. And as the weather, again, we get into summer, we really want to be paying attention to the importance of health, wellness, and fitness.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, so there's really no particular time to start. You know, you can, it's never too late to start. It doesn't matter when we start, but it just seems, you know, with the warmer temperatures, it just gives that feeling of motivation, inspiration. So you can go and do some, go to the pool, you can do a hike, you can go to the playground, you can do all those activities, but include, and it's also, so what are the benefits to including your child or your children?
Well, we just mentioned one of the biggest ones, which is weight control. You know, it's yes. interesting. When I've had experts on the show, Christine, talking about bullying, for example, the number one area is weight related, is obesity related in the world of bullying. Disabilities is involved, but also, again, so the benefits, whether it is controlling weight, whether it is the scourge of diabetes, starting much, much earlier than we saw in the past decades where we have adolescents. Again, because of the fact of habits, we mentioned before we started, you know, the social media world where these kids are looking at the phones all day, every day. It's a tremendous challenge. So when parents can include the family, again, whether it's involving them in taking part in the gym, whether it's whatever the activity is, it can be something that they can be included, throwing the ball around, explaining to your children the importance of activity. You know, one of my favorite guests, Teresa Power, she's the founder of Kids Yoga Day. It must be 50 countries that take part in early April, International Kids Yoga Day. And she's looking at not only the physical benefit for these kids, but also the mental benefits of being able to understand, you know, kids learn better and they are healthier. Their attitudes improve when you include activities. And another one of my favorite guests, Suzanne Gray, who's involved with a organization involving getting these kids off social media and getting them to pay attention to health and fitness a little bit at a time. It's a big, you know, the three words on the sports doctor, which we always include: awareness, education, action. And here we're talking about the awareness that there is big challenges for families and children in so many health-related areas. We want to include the educational side, which is why, I don't know, is it 3 or 4 years we have our monthly segment on Run With It with the famous Christine Blanchet? Absolutely. And then action, whether it's school systems, whether it's families who are paying attention to making some changes. And again, it's up to you. What activities do you really enjoy as far as mom and dad are concerned? And again, it might be running and jogging, might be walking, might be going to the gym, might be a home program. Just yesterday, I had a physical therapist on from the Chicagoland area and talking about how involved the fitness, the physical therapy world is with the community. Same goals. How do we change these situations where we're not running into, again, high blood pressure concerns and cardiovascular concerns when we're talking about the benefits. And again, big mental benefits for all of us when activity is included. You know that. How long have you been a runner?
Since, well, 1998, but officially had a coach starting in 1999. But I've seen, and I also wanted to add here is that when you're active, you are a role model. So when you participate in activities or you're a runner or a walker, whatever, then you are inspiring your child or children to take up activity. And that, I feel that is very important.
I agree. And it doesn't have to be an organized sport. You know, if mom and dad played sports in high school and college, whatever the sport was. But the fact, usually, again, if the parents are active, then the young children have these role models and are paying attention that, you know, my kids would say to me, the number one dad, as long as I'm alive, you've been on the radio. Or they would say to me, I would be taking them to the gym years ago when they were little to expose them to what was going on, the importance of fitness and wellness, the fun that was involved. And again, you know, when the kids see that mom and dad are involved, even grandma and grandpa are involved, then it becomes a very easy move for them to enjoy and get involved in whatever the fitness activity happens to be. And again, it doesn't have to be organized youth sports. It could be very, very family oriented. And it is something, again, that I think your point is very, very well taken. And again, we want to be making sure that these children grow up and that they enjoy the idea of fitness and wellness. And it makes a gigantic difference in every area of a family's life, Christine.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Bob, always a pleasure having you on the show, and looking forward to having you back next month. And
yes, I'll show you again. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents.
Yes.
Gosh, it's the fifth year already. It's no less important. And if people want to find out about myself, the radio show, they can go to bbsradio.com/thesportsdoctor, because we're finally, after all these years, updating sportsdoctorradio.com, the website. They got me to do it. So hopefully the next time we're on the show, I'll have that to announce. And again, enjoy that birthday, Christine.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bob.
Great, everybody. See you next time.
Thanks.
Thanks for watching. If you have a question or comment about today's episode, go to our website, runwithit.ca. Until next time, run with it.
Thank you for all my partnerships with Mallory's Fashion Network, the Rio Theater, and Craft Hair Academy.